March 6th. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 1. We'll read through chapter 7, verse 89. We'll read about separation. Nazarite comes from a word that means to dedicate. Nazarites were men and women dedicated to the Lord, either for a brief period or for a lifetime. Their separation was twofold, to the Lord and from what defiled. See, even little things could defile, like the seeds and skins of grapes. When God says something is wrong, it is wrong, no matter how small a thing it may seem to us to be. We'll read about termination. The Nazarite stated at the beginning how long the vow would last, but our separation to the Lord must be for life. However, it's not wrong occasionally to set aside periods of time for special devotion to the Lord, just as the Nazarites did. If the Nazarite became defiled, all the days of the dedication were lost. It is a costly thing to disobey the Lord. Even though the Nazarite had lived in dedication, it was still necessary to bring sacrifices to the Lord, for nobody is perfect before Him. We'll read about benediction. What a privilege it was for the priests to bless the people, and what a privilege it is for us to share God's blessing with others. He blesses us so we may be a blessing. The people were about to enter into war, yet God told them how to have peace. No matter how trying your circumstances may be, you can have God's peace as you live under the blessing of His smile. And in Numbers chapter 7, here's what we'll find. The longest chapter in Numbers, which is this one, chapter 7, deals with a generous offering brought by the leaders of the tribes just after the tabernacle was set up. Now, leaders certainly ought to set the example in giving, and those men did. The gifts were identical, presented on 12 successive days. And yet, in God's eyes, the gifts were individual. If what we give is from the heart, presented for God's glory, He sees it, and He will reward in His own time. Each of those 12 leaders was precious to God. He received their gifts individually. And the gifts were practical, to be used for the service of the tabernacle. When we supply ministry tools for God's servants, we also bring gifts to the Lord. Everybody but the Kohathites could use the carts for their work. The sons of Kohath had to carry the tabernacle furniture on their shoulders. Although there are some burdens others can help us bear, each one shall bear his own load. David disobeyed this law and brought judgment from God. Over in 2 Samuel, don't refuse the burdens. God will enable you to carry them. And now, let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. March 6th, Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, through chapter 7, verse 89. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel and give them these instructions. If some of the people, either men or women, take the special vow of a Nazarite, setting themselves apart to the Lord in a special way, they must give up wine and other alcoholic drinks. They must not use vinegar made from wine. They must not drink other fermented drinks or fresh grape juice. And they must not eat grapes or raisins. As long as they are bound by their Nazarite vow, they are not allowed to eat or drink anything that comes from a grapevine, not even the grape seeds or skins. They must never cut their hair throughout the time of their vow, for they are holy and set apart to the Lord. That is why they must let their hair grow long, and they may not go near a dead body during the entire period of their vow to the Lord, even if their own father, mother, brother, or sister has died. They must not defile the hair on their head, because it is the symbol of their separation to God. This applies as long as they are set apart to the Lord. If their hair is defiled because someone suddenly falls dead beside them, they must wait for 7 days and then shave their heads. Then they will be cleansed from their defilement. On the eighth day, they must bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will offer one of the birds for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. In this way, he will make atonement for the guilt they incurred from the dead body. Then they must renew their vow that day and let their hair begin to grow again. The days of their vow that were completed before their defilement no longer count. They must rededicate themselves to the Lord for the full term of their vow, and each must bring a one-year-old male lamb for a guilt offering. This is the ritual law of the Nazarites. At the conclusion of their time of separation as Nazarites, they must go to the entrance of the tabernacle and offer these sacrifices to the Lord: a one-year-old male lamb without defect for a burnt offering, a one-year-old female lamb without defect for a sin offering, a ram without defect for a peace offering, a basket of bread made without yeast, cakes of choice flour mixed with olive oil, and wafers spread with olive oil, along with their prescribed grain offerings and drink offerings. The priest will present these offerings before the Lord: first the sin offering and the burnt offering, then the ram for a peace offering, along with the basket of bread made without yeast. The priest must also make the prescribed grain offering and drink offering. Then the Nazarites will shave their hair at the entrance of the tabernacle and put it on the fire beneath the peace offering sacrifice. After each Nazarite's head has been shaved, the priest will take for each of them the boiled shoulder of the ram, one cake made without yeast, and one wafer made without yeast, and put them all into the Nazarite's hands. The priest will then lift the gifts up before the Lord in a gesture of offering. These are holy portions for the priest, along with the breast and thigh pieces that were lifted up before the Lord. After this ceremony, the Nazarites may again drink wine. This is the ritual law of the Nazarites. If any Nazarites have vowed to give the Lord anything else beyond what is required by their normal Nazarite vow, they must fulfill their special vow, exactly as they have promised. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace." This is how Aaron and his sons will designate the Israelites as my people, and I myself will bless them. On the day Moses set up the tabernacle, he anointed it and set it apart as holy, along with all its furnishings and the altar with its utensils. Then the leaders of Israel, the tribal leaders who had organized the census, came and brought their offerings. Together they brought 6 carts and 12 oxen. There was a cart for every 2 leaders and an ox for each leader. They presented these to the Lord in front of the tabernacle. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Receive their gifts and use these oxen and carts for the work of the tabernacle. Distribute them among the Levites according to the work they have to do." So Moses presented the carts and oxen to the Levites. He gave 2 carts and 4 oxen to the Gershonite division for their work, and 4 carts and 8 oxen to the Merarite division for their work. All their work was done under the leadership of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. But he gave none of the carts or oxen to the Kohathite division, since they were required to carry the sacred objects of the tabernacle on their shoulders. The leaders also presented dedication gifts for the altar at the time it was anointed. They each placed their gifts before the altar. The Lord said to Moses, "Let each leader bring this gift on a different day for the dedication of the altar." On the first day, Nashon, son of Amminadab, leader of the tribe of Judah, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3 1/4 pounds and a silver basin of about 1 3/4 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 inches, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Nashon, son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nathanael, son of Zuar, leader of the tribe of Issachar, presented this offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Nathanael, son of Zuar. On the third day, Eliab, son of Helon, leader of the tribe of Zebulun, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Eliab, son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eleazar, son of Shedeur, leader of the tribe of Reuben, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Eleazar, son of Shedeur. On the fifth day, Shelumiel, son of Zereshaddai, leader of the tribe of Simeon, presented this offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Shelumiel, son of Zereshaddai. On the sixth day, Eliasaph, son of Deuel, leader of the tribe of Gad, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Eliasaph, son of Deuel. On the seventh day, Elishama, son of Amihud, leader of the tribe of Ephraim, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Elishama, son of Amihud. On the eighth day, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur, leader of the tribe of Manasseh, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3.25 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1.75 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a one-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. On the 9th day, Abidan, son of Gideoni, leader of the tribe of Benjamin, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter, weighing about 3 1/4 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1 3/4 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Abidan, son of Gideoni. On the 10th day, Ahiezer, son of Amishadai, leader of the tribe of Dan, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3 1/4 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1 3/4 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Ahiezer, son of Amishadai. On the 11th day, Pagiel, son of Ochran, leader of the tribe of Asher, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3 1/4 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1 3/4 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Pagiel, son of Ochran. On the 12th day, Ahira, son of Enan, leader of the tribe of Naphtali, presented his offering. The offering consisted of a silver platter weighing about 3 1/4 pounds, and a silver basin of about 1 3/4 pounds. These were both filled with grain offerings of choice flour mixed with olive oil. He also brought a gold container weighing about 4 ounces, which was filled with incense. He brought a young bull, a ram, and a 1-year-old male lamb as a burnt offering, a male goat for a sin offering, and 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 1-year-old male lambs for a peace offering. This was the offering brought by Ahira, son of Enan. So this was the dedication offering for the altar, brought by the leaders of Israel at the time it was anointed, 12 silver platters, 12 silver basins, and 12 gold incense containers. In all, the silver objects weighed about 60 pounds, about 3 1/4 pounds for each platter, and 1 3/4 pounds for each basin. The weight of the donated gold came to about 3 pounds, about 4 ounces for each of the gold containers that were filled with incense. 12 bulls, 12 rams, and 12 1-year-old male lambs were donated for the burnt offerings, along with their prescribed grain offerings. 12 male goats were brought for the sin offerings, 24 young bulls, 60 rams, 60 male goats, and 60 1-year-old male lambs were donated for the peace offerings. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. Whenever Moses went into the tabernacle to speak with the Lord, he heard the voice speaking to him from between the 2 cherubim above the ark's cover, the place of atonement that rests on the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord spoke to him from there. March 6th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today will come from the book of Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 38. And we'll read through chapter 13, verse 13. As we learned yesterday, the Lord watches how we give and examines the motives of the heart. He also sees how much we give and measures the proportion, not the portion. An old epitaph reads, "What I gave, I have. What I spent, I had." What I kept, I lost. In Mark chapter 13, this is Mark's version of the Olivet Discourse, written with Gentile readers in mind. If we're to be ready and faithful in these last days, we must heed the admonitions of Jesus. Take heed that no one deceives you. Political and geological disruption will give false prophets and false Christs great opportunity to deceive people. Persecution against God's people will either strengthen us or weaken us. And now, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 6th, Mark chapter 12, verse 38, through chapter 13, verse 13. Here are some of the other things he, Jesus, taught them at this time. Beware of these teachers of religious law, for they love to parade in flowing robes and to have everyone bow to them as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and at banquets, but they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property. And then to cover up the kind of people they really are, they make long prayers in public. Because of this, their punishment will be the greater. Jesus went over to the collection box in the temple and sat and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 pennies. He called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the others have given. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." As Jesus was leaving the temple that day, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at these tremendous buildings. Look at the massive stones in the walls." Jesus replied, "These magnificent buildings will be so completely demolished that not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives across the valley from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew came to him privately and asked him, "When will all this take place? And will there be any sign ahead of time to show us when all this will be fulfilled?" Jesus replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, because many will come in my name, claiming to be the Messiah. They will lead many astray, and wars will break out near and far. But don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the end won't follow immediately. Nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other, and there will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, and famines. But all this will be only the beginning of the horrors to come. But when these things begin to happen, watch out. You will be handed over to the courts and beaten in the synagogues. You'll be accused before governors and kings of being my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell them about me. And the good news must first be preached to every nation. But when you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry about what to say in your defense. Just say what God tells you to. Then it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death. Fathers will betray their own children. And children will rise against their parents and cause them to be killed. And everyone will hate you because of your allegiance to me. But those who endure to the end will be saved." Psalm 49, verses 1 through 20. Whether you're rich or poor, this psalm is for you, because it deals with two important subjects, death and money. "Do not boast in your wealth or trust in your wealth," wrote the psalmist. And he explained why. Your wealth cannot prevent death. When Queen Elizabeth I was dying, she said, "All my possessions for one moment of time." Although money can buy medicine and professional help, it cannot buy God off when the death angel comes to claim you. All your possessions, all your money will not buy you one more moment of time here on this earth. Your wealth cannot go with you. the dead bodies of both men and beasts turn to dust in the grave, and the rich are not exempt from this end. When a believer dies, the spirit goes to be with the Lord, but you cannot take your wealth with you. However, you can send it ahead as you share it with others in the name of the Lord. And your wealth cannot buy permanent fame. Men praise the rich while they live, honor them when they die, and perhaps hope to inherit something, and then forget them. The rich man can build himself a monument, but he cannot make people remember him. Verse 15 we'll see reveals the believer's assurance of future resurrection. And that is what conquers death and makes life worth living. Psalm 49, verses 1 through 20. For the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Listen to this, all you people. Pay attention, everyone in the world, high and low, rich and poor. Listen, for my words are wise, and my thoughts are filled with insight. I listen carefully to many proverbs and solve riddles with inspiration from a harp. There is no need to fear when times of trouble come, when enemies are surrounding me. They trust in their wealth and boast of great riches. Yet they cannot redeem themselves from death by paying a ransom to God. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever and never see the grave. Those who are wise must finally die, just like the foolish and senseless, leaving all their wealth behind. The grave is their eternal home, where they will stay forever. They may name their estates after themselves, but they leave their wealth to others. They will not last long despite their riches, for they will die like the animals. This is the fate of fools, though they will be remembered as being so wise. Like sheep, they are led to the grave, where death will be their shepherd. In the morning, the godly will rule over them. Their bodies will rot in the grave, far from their grand estates. But as for me, God will redeem my life. He will snatch me from the power of death. So don't be dismayed when the wicked grow rich and their homes become ever more splendid. For when they die, they carry nothing with them. Their wealth will not follow them into the grave. In this life, they consider themselves fortunate, and the world loudly applauds their success. But they will die like all others before them, and never again see the light of day. People who boast of their wealth don't understand that they will die like the animals. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Fear of the Lord lengthens one's life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked are all in vain.